Case number 19-42583 is Joseph versus Ronald Joseph et al. Court order again not to exceed 15 minutes for the plaintiff and 15 minutes to be shared by the defense.
Again, may it please the court, I am Jeff Landon, again representing Marie Joseph in this case as well. And again, I request to reserve 6 minutes for rebuttal from our time. At the outset, I want to emphasize that the district court already ruled that Marie Joseph had a right as a minority shareholder to access to the records of Columbia Oldsmobile Company. And again, this is back to what's this part of the appeal about? And again, it's broken into two pieces, and we'll come back to that in a minute, as to that's sort of backwards from the way it would logically have flowed. The court acknowledged that Marie has the right to look at and to copy, to inspect and to make copies of corporate records. That is not in dispute on this appeal. And
it's a statutory right under Ohio law?
It's a statutory right under Ohio law, as well as a right that flows from the duty of disclosure of the majority and controlling shareholder in the context of a closely held corporation. So she has it. She gets that same right in two different ways, two coats of paint. In this context, much of what has been written in the responsive briefs in this case, in this part of the case, relates to whether Marie actually has that right.
Actually what?
Actually has that right. I mean, basically it's an implicit or explicit, in some cases, challenge to the idea that Marie has the right to see these things at all. So the implication being that, well, okay, you know, it didn't matter because she didn't have a right to see these things anyway.
I thought the problem was that she asked for copies.
I can address that immediately, Your Honor, because that's sort of the red herring here in the entire thing. Marie did ask for copies, and that all comes back to the idea of what was the scope of her request. That's the only thing that is at issue, is did Marie ask the right way? In my own family, sometimes we would say, when you said that, you're holding your mouth wrong. You know, here it's a question of, did she ask properly? Did she say Rumpelstiltskin before making the request in a manner that required Ron to respond to it in the words that she used in the 2015 request? The word that she used, she cited the statute itself, 1701.37, through counsel, and it then goes on to say, Marie, I forget the exact phrase, but you're right, it says something like, asks for or requests copies of the following things. Now, in the context of having cited the statute, which provides the right to inspect and copy, but then in the request itself, it mentions the word, just says copies, and doesn't say separately the word inspect. From a very simple standpoint, our view is she had requested the copies, inclusive with that, and tied into the statute to which she cited, is the idea that you can inspect them. The two flow with each other. They're intertwined. Normally, if things had gone the way one would want them to, you would say, I'd like to inspect these things if there were an opportunity to do so, and then make copies of those that you particularly want. That's one way that things could go down. But in
one thing I didn't quite understand is your point that the copy didn't reveal certain information as opposed to produced? You got the copy, not the original. You didn't get to look at the original ledger, right?
Correct.
And is your harm? What's the harm?
It's not the original thing, and it doesn't have the functionality of the original thing.
And how, yeah. Can you explain?
In the sense that we know from the testimony that the software, that these records were maintained in electronic form. And that's where this case presents an interesting issue. If documents or records are maintained in electronic form, what's the original and what's a copy. And in this circumstance, what could have happened is very simple. Here, the original, the actual record itself, in is two different sets of software. One is Peachtree, the other is something called Reynolds and Reynolds. They're software packages. You put data into those software packages, and it stores the information for you. The information, however, in those packages is interactive. And you can click on something, and that's the whole point of having a package like that, is to be able to interact with the data in the data set.
So what should they have done that is allow her to come into some computer center and push buttons herself or her lawyer?
Actually, that's the fallback position, Judge. In that our view, it's very simple. If you ask for a copy of something and it's in a software package, you have the data set that fits in that software package. You turn over the data set that's in the software package. That is the thing. That is, in this case, the general ledger of the parent company and in Peachtree and in the subsidiary.
Is there anything in her request that adverts to all of this sophisticated electronic argument? That is, normally, if I got a letter, you know, that said, we would like copies of your opinion in such and such, you know, I would go to the Xerox machine or whatever Hewlett-Packard machine and make a copy. I wouldn't, you know, give them access or, you know, data package that's on my desktop computer. So, you know, when they're responding to this request, is there something that says, you know, we want the whole database, including the software package that runs it?
We were not asking, Your Honor, for the software package that runs it necessarily. And again, we never got that far because we were not permitted to go down this path until, again, after the fact, after the trial was over on the main case, et cetera. And in fact, we never got to present the details of this at trial because though the court bifurcated it off improperly to begin with by putting the cart before the horse, the main case before the information gathering part of the case, what happens is we are seeking a bench trial, because that's the only thing being offered to us at that point, on these very issues, and we weren't permitted to do that. And the bench trial was scheduled and then canceled on the idea that the case would be disposed of on this issue on the threshold question of whether Marie Joseph had asked properly and whether the request was proper. Now, back to your question, though, about the difference between one of your opinions and this database and this the general ledger itself. Your opinion, once issued, is fixed, absent amendment or some other clarification. But the words are on the page, and they are a fixed thing. And the printout of a copy of your decision and an electronic version of it still in Word or Word Perfect or whatever form one would type in it, it's the same thing, functionally.
So is your allegation...
You might have metadata that people would like to have.
Yes. but that sort of goes to where this goes. What Marie was seeking was the general ledger itself. And there's this, it's a straw man argument from the other side, the idea that, she wanted to see live data. She demanded to be in the office doing that. That was a fallback.
Well, I get the point about Judge Boggs' opinions, but what are you saying? The data was manipulated and then copied, so the information you received was inaccurate, or you just don't know what they were doing with the data, and so when they made copies, maybe they had moved things around or hid information? Or
would you have been able to get the backup data had you gotten this electronic version that you wanted?
It is our... And again, this is back to speculation on our part because we never got it. And I recognize that there's an element of uncertainty here. We have testimony from some of the employees that they could link in one form or another, and we don't know whether they did it in the sense of seeing a number and going someplace else to a physical hard copy repository, or to the extent to which there were links between and among things within the system. because we never got to see the system. That's the whole point. We ask for a copy, and instead of getting a copy of the actual I'm not worried about the software, it's the data set that's embedded in the software as user defined by the people using it. That information, instead of getting the thing itself, they did an export. They export information from the software. We don't know everything else that's in there, but they give us a version, and they take pride in it in terms of saying we produce.
You also haven't identified anything specific that you think was manipulated or missing. I understand there might be something you don't know about, but you haven't identified something specifically that's off or inaccurate, or you put the numbers together, they don't make sense.
Well, there are, in terms of various aspects, there are a lot of things that don't make sense.
Well, you know what I mean. A red flag. Do you have any red flags?
We're not saying that it went from, it had this number here to a different number when it was printed out. Because by the very nature of it, we don't know.
So you don't, there's no red flags that you want, that you have, just my term, but.
We do not have particular transactions in which a number was changed. Is that that's what you're characterizing as a red flag?
Well, you can characterize it. Can I ask you a different question? How does this overlap with discovery? So this seems like the same sort of information you would request in discovery. Did you request this information in discovery?
That's a very good point. We requested much of the same information in discovery. And we were informed that, again, the case had been cut down by that point, and it was the issue of how is this relevant, how is this proportional to the needs of the case. Our position is, very simply, that the shareholder rights, when you make a request as a shareholder, under Ohio law, the established precedents in Ohio, those records in a closely held corporation are yours. And you have the right to look at them. You don't have to take things at face value. That's the key element here. You don't have to take things at face value. You can probe. You can check. And in the context presented here, there's every reason why Marine was concerned. Good reason to be concerned, as it turns out. And if she wants to go in and check something, she would have the right to look at all those records as a shareholder. What the district court did...
With respect to the discovery... Did you not ask because the case had already been cut down, or did you ask and the judge then said no because the judge had limited the case?
As a practical matter, we asked and the judge said no. I mean, not in those exact words, but that was the idea, yes.
Wasn't the case cut down at summary judgment?
The case was repeatedly cut down on summary judgment as it went along. There were various levels of summary judgments.
Before discovery was ongoing.
While discovery was ongoing, and so we were trying to get the information both temporally broader, back in time, and again, whether Marie could have brought an action on the basis of those things or not, based on the discovery rule, is beside the point. She's allowed to look in order to see what's
been going on. So going back to your request, it says request on her behalf. Copies of the following Columbia books and records. And then there is sort of a list. So which are the, and many of them say the financials of, which of these have this software package and data that you wanted?
It comes up in two ways. One is, if you look closely at that list, I don't have it in front of me at this moment, but in that list, it starts off saying I forget the exact phrasing, but it was raised by opposing counsel in their arguments in the briefs, seeking the books and records. And then it says, this includes. So the request, by its terms, is broader. And again, the question is, was it too broad, as Judge Black concluded, that it was too broad by not being specific enough? But keeping in mind that Marie, at that time, doesn't know enough. She doesn't have access to enough information to do anything more than that. She then subsequently provides more detail, trying to focus the request that she'd previously made. But the opening request itself would include the software packages, because both it would be implicated by the corporate books and records, the exact phrase I don't recall off the top of my head, as well as then the specific line items when it says the financials of.
So you're then saying that the phrase "the complete books and records of account" includes the software packages in some fashion in which they're connected to?
Yes.
In any practice or cases or anything that would be the necessary or proper interpretation?
Well, again, the documents are the underlying documents are the things themselves that she wants to look at. And what's happening, what's being cited, is federal rules of evidence about whether a copy can be accepted as an original under the federal rules of evidence. But the federal rules of evidence do not constrict the shareholder's rights of what he or she is allowed to look at. Just because it's like, well, is this a true original in a generic sense versus whether it would count as an original under the federal rules of evidence, the part of the federal rules of evidence being cited by our opponents is for the specific purpose of what you can use at trial. And again, we're not saying that you would have to at trial bring in the computers, the physical thing, into the courtroom. That's not what we're saying at all, nor are we saying that Marie should have necessarily been granted the right to go sit at a terminal someplace. The simple answer was they have the data in its original form, and they could supply that data. The fallback position, which has been used against us, frankly, is that we learned in discovery that the accountants for the company...
How soon, I'm sorry, your time is up, but how how soon after receiving the copies did you say, oh no, we want all the software package?
I'll be clear, we never said we necessarily want the software package. We wanted the real general ledger, not an export from it. I don't recall off the top of my head, but I believe it was a matter of a few days between when we get this export of data from the system and we're saying, no, wait a minute, this is not the thing itself. And I recognize I'm out of time.
Could you just refile your case? Could you just file a new case and be more specific about what you want?
Yes, Your Honor, in theory we could, and in fact we did. In a different context.
This case has a lot of legs to it,
yeah.
Or this dispute.
Again, although as the court may note, in this appeal, Judge Black determined that the only thing he would consider was the request made by Marie through counsel in 2015. And anything that happened while the case was pending, this court, or the district court, would not consider. So,
can you just go tomorrow and file? I don't know if there's an issue preclusion or claim preclusion issue. I don't know why there necessarily would be if this shareholder right is as broad as you say it is. So, couldn't you go file a new case and just be very specific about what you want?
Yes, and we did. Because it's like, okay, Judge.
Well, I don't know. File another one?
We filed another case, and again, it's a matter of public record. It's not part of the record, but it's a public record in the court system. The position taken by counsel in that case was that our request there was, in fact, at issue here. And we said, no, this is another request. We're coming back and trying to do it again. We're blocked there as well. I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to stray outside the record or what things can be seen off the face of the state court record. But we're not irrational. We did exactly as you suggested, but we've been stymied on both ends.
Thank you. You still have your rebuttal?
May it please the court, Benjamin Stewart. I represent the defendant, Ronald Joseph. I'll give you 5 minutes for my colleague, Mr. Glassman, who represents the additional defendant. I'll start where you ended, Judge Radler. Marie or any other Ohio shareholder, if they aren't satisfied with the response to a corporate records request, is always free to send another request, and then it's always free to file a lawsuit if they are not satisfied.
I mean, sort of like Ohio public records law, I think, works similarly.
Yeah.
FOIA, which I learned about, that works sort of the same. I mean, this doesn't have to necessarily be the end of the road.
It's absolutely
your
not.
Client, none of your clients want to hear that, I understand, but...
I'm only here to tell you what the law is.
Yeah, it seems to me we have to judge this request on its face, but there could be future requests, potentially.
And as my colleague on the other side said, there were future requests in this case. In fact, there were future requests in between the original request and the so-called clarification they sent 3 years later. Those requests are, in fact, part of another lawsuit, and that other lawsuit actually is part of the record. It was attached to our summary judgment motion, record 244-15. We attached that lawsuit they filed in that other case. So they are absolutely free at any time to do that. The issue in this case was very limited. And Judge Boggs and Judge White, I think you both asked, are the documents they're seeking now referenced in this request? And there's three categories of documents they're seeking now: so-called source documents, the so-called original stock ledger, and what I now have learned is some sort of software suite related to the general ledger. The question you asked, I believe, as I understood it, was, are any of those mentioned in this 2015 request? The answer to that is unequivocally no. There is nothing in that request that really even hints at getting those documents. The closest comes that they do specifically ask for the stock ledger. They specifically, they got a copy of the stock ledger. They asked for a copy of the stock ledger. They got a copy of the stock ledger. Incidentally, they also got every single share certificate back to the founding of the company in, I believe, the 1930s. For some reason, that wasn't enough. And I actually don't know what we would give them if you ordered us to produce the original stock ledger, because there really is nothing else to produce. But the bottom line is, they didn't ask in this request for the documents that are the subject of this appeal.
Well, except it depends upon how you define the document. So if the ledger is kept on the computer, then a copy of that document would be a copy of what's on the computer.
And that is exactly what they got. Now, I don't think they specifically requested that anyway in this request. There isn't actually a reference to the full general ledger, I don't believe. But nevertheless, they got from the period of 2008 up until the end of discovery, although they subsequently got more, they got the complete general ledger of both of Columbia's subsidiaries, Columbia Automotive and Columbia Development. They got the complete general ledger in searchable form. They now have access to a record.
In what form?
In searchable form. In other words, it's a document that you can search on a computer.
Got it. Searchable.
This was a CD or a tape or a hard drive of some sort, when you say searchable.
Correct. I think they was sent through a share file site and they downloaded it. But yes, absolutely, they got that. But
what is it that you didn't want to give them then, or did not in fact give them?
Well, there's two things that they say we didn't give them. One is, and again, I've never been 100% sure what they wanted. My understanding was always that they wanted to come to the offices, sit at a computer, and go through the general ledger that way. We did not give them that right. We did not provide them that access. Nor did we provide this software suite or what they're asking for now. But again, there's nothing in this request that even suggests that we have to do that. Your Honor, sorry, I'll come back to your question. We also didn't give them source documents for every single transaction on a list of 748 transactions, whatever source documents are. Although I will point out, they did receive source documents for many of those transactions during discovery, as Judge Radler was discussing before. The only argument that I've heard from them that I understand as to why this request covers all that information, the software suite, the source documents, is that they use this phrase from the statute, books and records of account. They didn't specifically identify any of these statutes, they didn't specifically identify any of these documents, but they did refer to the complete books and records of account.
And it's their position, therefore, that in response to that one request, they were basically entitled to everything. I just want to be very clear, if the district court had held that, what that would mean. The phrase books and records of account has a specific meaning and is used twice in the Ohio Corporate Records Statute. In Section A, it says that a company has an obligation to maintain books and records of account. In Section B, it says the shareholder may, on written request, with a proper purpose, inspect the books and records of account. If they're right, and just saying books of records and account means that you get absolutely everything, then that means that the Ohio legislature has created a broad, open-ended, unlimited by time obligation to maintain all that information. That can't be what the legislature meant when it used the phrase books and records.
It doesn't define the phrase books and records, right?
The statute does not define the phrase books and records.
Is that phrase, that phrase probably is more than 20 years old? In other words, was it put into the statute before the sort of modern computer?
It was put in the statute before, in the 1950s, actually.
Yeah, it's.
And again, there's no information they wanted that they didn't get. And actually, another state, Alaska, dealt with this same issue in the Pedersen case, where there was electronically stored information, and the corporation was ordered by the court to produce printouts of that information. And again, these aren't just printouts, these aren't just pieces of paper, these are searchable PDFs of the general ledger. And again, that isn't something they actually asked for in the request. So, and that really, what the district court's holding ended with is a very simple holding, and that is, if you want something, ask for it. And as Judge Radler and I were discussing earlier, if you don't ask for it, you don't waive your right to ask again. You can always ask for it again. But if you want something, ask for it. And in this case, she just didn't ask for the information that's now at issue on this appeal, and that was at issue in summary judgment. I would just like to talk about one more thing that that the appellant addressed, because I have to address this. It's this argument that the court held that Marie was entitled to certain records. The court and the defendant all agreed below, the district court and the defendant all agreed below, that Marie is entitled to inspect records, that a shareholder is entitled to inspect records. They did go a step further in the reply, and at least implied this today, that the court actually held that Marie is entitled to the records that are covered by this appeal. The district court absolutely did not hold that. And to be very clear, our position is these documents are outside the scope of the statute or have already been provided.
I'm sorry, can you repeat your last sentence?
Sure. I do want to be clear that, I mean, obviously the district court's decision,
right,
our position is that they didn't request them, so they're not entitled to them. You know, our fallback position, our alternative position, is that those documents also are outside the scope of the statute. The statute doesn't require you to produce source documents for hundreds of transactions. That's our position. The district court never actually ruled on that.
Well, the problem is that we have this old phrase that's not defined in the modern era by statute, and there's no House Supreme Court case or High Court Appeals case that sort of gives meaning to books and records in the way records are currently kept. Is that?
And I want to be clear, the phrase is not books and records. The phrase is books and records of accounts. That's what the statute means. And to me, that's different than saying you're entitled to every record. You're entitled to books and records of account. And again, that statute.
Well, either way, okay, fair point. But that there's no case that sort of says that means the metadata, or that means something in a cloud, or I don't, you know, it's not
you're
my area.
Absolutely correct that there's no case that defines that specifically. And we looked at the Fuhr case in New Jersey. And if you read what the court said there, they said much more articulately than I just said that it can't be as open-ended as they're saying, because if it is, that means the same statute is requiring you to maintain all those records. That would mean no corporation in Ohio could have a document destruction protocol. And the point I was trying to make earlier is the district court never held that these records were covered by that. I see my time is up. Can I finish this thought?
You finish the thought.
Sure, thank you. They cite two orders in their brief. It's an order on the motion to bifurcate, which is record 175, and an order setting a briefing schedule, which is 230. In neither of those, in those opinions, if those orders, those very brief orders, if you read them, did the court say, yes, I agree that Marie is entitled to those categories of documents, and I think those orders speak for themselves. I just want to be clear, the district court never held that. Unless there's any more questions, I'll...
Do you have any questions? Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
May it please the court, Ben Glassman on behalf of Greg Joseph, George Joseph, Ronald Joseph Jr., and Richard Joseph. My clients are in a very unusual position in this appeal, which is an appeal from the grant of summary judgment to Ronald Joseph Sr. long after my clients had been granted summary judgment in full on all claims against them. My colleague on the other side has argued that in the other case, 1933-50, that grant of summary judgment was improper for other reasons on other claims. But as to this corporate reverence claim, my clients had nothing to do with it and were out of the case by the time that this was adjudicated. So there's no support, no legal reason for my clients to answer for a part of the case that they had nothing to do with it.
And there are no allegations that they had control of any of the corporate records?
No. The district court was clear, and our clients were clear, that the corporate records claim, count two, was against Ronald Joseph Sr. There were claims in the amended complaint against my clients, not that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sought summary judgment on all claims against us. It was granted. That's the subject of the other appeal.
Yep.
And then this case proceeded as against Ronald Joseph Sr. So I think probably the best way to think about this second notice of appeal as to our clients is that it would be duplicative of the earlier notice of appeal, because there's only the grant of summary judgment as against us. Are there any questions that I can answer for the court?
I don't think so. Thank you.
Wait for the clock to start on me here. In a rebuttal, let's start with from the standpoint of the sons. The assertion just made that claim had never been asserted against the sons, either as a matter of pleading or as a matter of what was being argued, is simply not accurate. The claim included a demand that Ron and Ron's sons permit Marie to have access to these documents. And in the prayer for relief states, equitable relief requiring the defendant Ronald Joseph and Ron's sons permit plaintiff to inspect and copy the books and records of Columbia.
So in what sense would the sons have any control over the books and records?
Two or three different ways. I'll start with the single most obvious one. One of the arguments asserted at trial on the other claims was that this company, Columbia Oldsmobile Company, is paying management fees to Pond Realty Company, also known as Joseph Management. That is a company of which Ron is the head and the sons run it. So in their own portrayal of how things work, ultimately.
But are that Pond Realty, are those records included in the request?
Pond Realty's documents are not requested as such, but to the extent that I'm again making it very simple, the Columbia Oldsmobile Company has records. Who are the people in charge of those records? They're all wearing Pond Realty baseball caps.
They're what?
They're wearing, metaphorically, Pond Realty Company baseball caps, in that the employees inside the office at Columbia Oldsmobile Company, many of them are actually employed by Pond. They're on Pond's payroll. So although the records themselves belong to Columbia, the people in charge of them
But Columbia has the power to produce them or not produce them, right?
Columbia itself, as an entity, has the power to produce them. Ron, as the majority and controlling shareholder, has the power to produce them. But Ron's sons, through their ownership and control of Pond and the employees who are actually interacting with us on a daily basis, they have the power to do it as well.
So you're saying that they should be able to produce Columbia's records, which they, as contractors in effect, have some control of? I mean, if I am Amazon and I subcontract somebody to do some accounts, I'd be pretty astonished if you could get those subcontractors to produce things, wouldn't I?
In the arm's length description that you're referring to, yes. In the circumstance here, where everybody is part of a single family unit and they are interacting with each other without making distinctions. That's one of our underlying claims. I want to go back to that, but that there's no barriers here. There's
Marie's not a shareholder of Pond.
Marie is not a shareholder of
Pond. So you have a right to request documents from companies for which you're a shareholder, right?
Yes, but, and this is back to why we didn't sue Pond. There is a, in this particular circumstance, the claim was against Ron's Sons because Ron's Sons own Pond, and therefore they control Pond. So it's again.
But you wanted, you weren't, you didn't want these Pond controllers and employees to give you Pond records. You wanted them to give you Columbia records.
Correct, to the extent that there's a distinction. And again, I just want to note that it gets blurry as to whether Pond had any separate or independent existence other than as a shell that's nominally in control or in possession of these records. So we tried to ask, we tried to pursue it both ways in the sense of it. But again, the idea that a claim was asserted. You'll note the phrasing of we, the Sons, were not around when it was adjudicated. Well, in the sense that the bifurcated part, they're already long gone by then, but it was adjudicated as to them by letting them out of the case to begin with, and then it's adjudicated again as to Ron later on. Now, as to the...
Can I ask about your primary argument, the phrase books and records I was discussing with your friend on the other side? Would you agree that that's sort of a dated term in the statute? There's no statutory definition to tell us what that should mean about electronic data that you're referring to, and is there an Ohio case that gives us any clarification about how broadly that phrase should be read in sort of the modern era of data and how data is stored?
We have found no case that explains how to apply that in detail. The closest you come is from the Noburn, there is a discussion of, and that's a more contemporary case than the earlier ones, and it's describing the phenomenon of that you have documents that underlie other entries, et cetera. So it's decided in the more modern era, around 2010 or something like that, I believe. Yeah. I mean, but it doesn't really get into this.
Doesn't this create some obligation on your part to be a little more specific about what you want? I mean, given the uncertainties of how data is stored these days, I mean, this comes up all the time in electronic discovery and normal litigation. Parties fight about metadata and what they have to produce and who gets to inspect. And that seems like that's pretty well known, setting aside the problem with the statutory definition and not much court judicial gloss on that. So doesn't that sort of create some additional burden on you to be a little more specific about what exactly is you want up front, as opposed to now, years later, telling us what you meant?
Well, and that's the underlying problem, is at the time when Marie is first making the request, the only request that's at issue before this court, she doesn't know what form it's in. So the
she could say including but not limited to electro. I mean, there's just all kinds of language that I used to know more when I litigated, but there's quite a bit of language where you can include that kind of.
I understand, but the reality is, as we view it is, and again, using the...
Marie might not know, but you would know as a lawyer.
Well, Marie would only know that there are books and records, and we found, for example, and it's, again, not necessarily intuitive, what exists and what doesn't, in that we know now that the general ledger is in electronic form, but the assertion is made that many of the source documents are not in electronic form. So, and this distinction, it's an important one I want to make, of knowing what to ask for, what we are provided is a so-called flat file, which is, it's in electronic form, but it's not the electronic form it was in.
I'm asking more about the ask as opposed to what you got.
Right, but the ask was general, and we assert that when you don't know the specifics of how something is maintained, and you ask, that should begin, in effect, a dialogue of an iterative process.
Okay, counsel, I'm sorry. You've been well after your time.
Okay, thank you.
We appreciate the arguments. I'm sorry, did you have any questions?
No.